young people are to be commended. I think I've got power here. Let me check. We'll just go this route. Our young people are to be commended for many things in the work of the congregation here at Henderson. I'm always commenting to people in other places about how encouraging it is to me for the teenagers to sit where they sit, and not only that, but to do what they do in the Lord's work. And it's encouraging tonight to have those that are just a bit younger, our first through sixth graders, approximately over on the front seats on this side, to see what a fine-looking group they are, and the fact that they know how to behave and worship and are interested in spiritual things. I'm thankful that they have requested the sermon of the evening. I'm not for sure which grade, but one of the grades at least that's represented over here tonight. Sent me word a few weeks ago that they would like for me to preach a sermon that at least included something about taking the Lord's name in vain. If you have noticed in every song that we have sung tonight, the name of the Lord, or the name of God, or the name of Jesus has been included. Most of these songs that we've sung tonight were just directly from the Scriptures, many of them taken from some verses of Scripture and just put to notes so that we could sing them as we have. A little boy asked his mother, "Is God's last name Damn?" If that little boy had lived in the listening part of my neighborhood, I could understand why he might come to think that. I have a neighbor that seldom goes a day without using the Lord's name in vain. Judy and I have come to the point of leaving the back door shut most of the time, because it's not uncommon for one of my neighbors to get so upset. Sometimes for 5 or 10 minutes, he will curse and swear and use the name of God and the name of Jesus in just about every vain way that you can think. When I hear that, it makes cold chills go up and down my spine. And yet, that's all some boys and girls hear. They never hear the name God as you boys and girls do in the Bible classes here and in our worship services when we're singing and when we're studying and when we pray and address our prayers to God and close them in the name of Jesus. It's not any wonder that a little boy would ask his mother a question such as that. I want us to think for just a few minutes tonight about how great the name of God is. I believe it's important for us to understand that before we really get to the point of thinking about taking the Lord's name in vain. Because unless we understand how great it is, then whether or not we take it in vain will not mean very much. In Philippians, the 2nd chapter, Paul at verse 9 said, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and of things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The confession of Jesus Christ is Lord is something that we do before we are baptized into Christ, something that we have witnessed in the last week and will even witness before this day is over. For someone will confess their faith or his faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. And in talking about that here in this passage, Paul says, "I want you to understand that God has highly exalted the name of Jesus, so that at that name every knee should bow." And the bowed knee is an expression of humility and submission. That before the name of Jesus, before the name of God, everyone should be willing to bow his knee in submission and to recognize how great that name is. When you and I study the Bible and come to understand what God has done for us and what Christ has done for us, it's not hard to understand how a passage such as this would be given. Back in Old Testament times, there were those among the Jews who would not even mention the name of God. They were afraid that they might mention it in the wrong way, and they took it too far to the other extreme and would not even mention some of the expressions, at least, that referred to Jehovah, because they realized how great that name was. Sometimes they did not recognize that greatness in their lives, but at least in what they said and the approach that they took, they understood how great that name was. The name of God, the name of Jesus, ought to be so great to us tonight that just to hear it catches our attention. You know, there's something about a name in that sense. There's something about my name. If I hear my name called, it catches my attention because, you see, my name is important to me and your name is important to you. And I don't like to hear people use my name in a frivolous way, and you do not like to hear people use your name in a frivolous way. And if we feel that way about our own names, how much more should we exalt in our own thinking and in our actions the name of God and the name of Jesus? So, young people, I want you to think first of all tonight about how great the name of God is and how great the name of Jesus is, that God has exalted himself and his Son above everything else, so that everything, he says, in heaven, that would include the angels, everything on earth, he even emphasizes by saying everything under the earth, everything is to pay respect to the name of God. That's the kind of name with which we're dealing tonight. In the second place, we need to understand that that name is deserving of praise. That's what we've been doing in our singing for the last few minutes. We've been praising the name of God and the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord. Many of our songs are songs of praise, where when we lift up our voices and make melody in our hearts, we are sending praise. It's called a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Called the fruit of our lips. It comes from our hearts. We're sending praise up to God. And certainly his name is deserving of our praise. The psalmist said in Psalm 26, verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore with my song will I praise his name." It's encouraging to hear a young person, particularly going about the daily activities of life, singing songs like we were singing a few minutes ago, humming or even whistling as they're going about their day's activity, those tunes that remind them of the little songs that they've learned in Bible class and in services such as this. When you hear a young person singing songs like that, you have an idea of what they've been singing and thinking about at other times. It's so much more encouraging to hear our boys and girls of this age over here going about through the day singing songs like "Jesus Loves Me" and these that we've sung, instead of some of those tunes that when you've finished you still don't know what you've said. Still don't understand, or if you've said anything, maybe it has to do with immorality or things that are not honest or not decent. God tells us to think on the things that are pure and good. And one of the best ways to do that is to think on the idea of praising the name of God in everything that we do, to where those words that come from our lips are words of praise unto him. We need to learn to respect and to use the name of God in our prayers in the right way, and always keep that name at a lofty place and a high level. Yes, there is a sense in which God is a personal God, in the same sense that I wanted my dad to be a friend of mine and wanted to be a friend to our children. And yet there is a sense in which God as our Father is above us and is to be adored and is to be respected. Not feared to the extent that we're afraid to say his name, but respected to the degree that we respect that name when we use it. That's one of the reasons that I think we have come to the point that we always open a prayer by addressing our Father, There is a sense in which we as Christians, praying without ceasing, are in a constant thought process and mind process that might be described as prayer. And there is a sense in which we do not necessarily have to address the Father because we are always in communication with Him. But as we pray, particularly in a public sense, do you notice that in that first sentence, almost without exception, we say, "Our Father, our God, our Lord." We are addressing His name, and we're recognizing that we are about to lay something before His throne that's important, and that we can come before that throne of grace in a bold manner. If there is the right relationship in the family, a child will feel comfortable in coming to his dad or his mother and asking that dad and addressing that dad by name and presenting his needs and realizing that that dad cares and that he is to be respected. How much more is that true when we're thinking about our Father which is in heaven? We need to recognize that great level of the name of God, how that name is to be praised, and how wonderful it is that we can use that name in prayer. And boys and girls, remember every day of your life, and perhaps at different times in the day, to take advantage of that opportunity to address your Father. If you're still in the age of innocence before reaching the age of accountability, God is your God in that sense that you can talk to Him. And as you grow older and understand the need of being a Christian, and you become a Christian even at a younger age, you have the same right of addressing God in prayer that I do, or those who may even be older than I am that are in this audience tonight. What a wonderful privilege it is to have that name of God, that name of Jehovah, that name that we can approach in prayer and at the same time realize that through the name of Jesus we are approaching the name of God when we pray to Him. Having emphasized the greatness of God's name and the wonderful opportunities that are associated with it, let's think for just a moment about the question that was asked. How do we take the Lord's name in vain? How can we be guilty of that? We know that God is concerned about that point. Even as early as the Ten Commandments, one of them stated, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And if you will study the Old Testament history, you will find that God meant what He said, and that He expected people to keep His name in the same way that we've just been describing for the last several minutes. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Jesus Himself addressed this, and He said we need to be careful about our words. Just let it be yes and no. Don't swear by heaven. Don't swear by the earth. Don't use God's name in vain in that sense. James particularly reemphasized that in his writing. I believe some have misunderstood the intent of these last two or three passages and have tried to make them apply more to what's done in our court system than anywhere else, and I'm convinced that's not what the Bible has in mind there particularly. That it doesn't have in mind that it's wrong for us to say that I will tell the truth with God as my witness, that that's not taking His name in vain, but it's talking about using the name of God in a light manner, in a frivolous manner, and without respect. And whether that be in a courtroom or a church building or a community street or at home or wherever it is, if we use the name of God in a light manner, in anything that is less than a respectful way, we are taking the name of the Lord in vain. We ought never to let the word God or the word Jesus come from our lips in a way that's anything less than the highest degree of respect. And yet that happens so many times. And it happens so many times from the lips of those who claim to be Christians. Most of us are aware that one of the favorite expressions of those who do curse and swear and take the Lord's name in vain is to put the little two-letter word BY before the name of God. And in a very light, detrimental way, use those two words. In the last few years, I have been impressed with how many people change that little word BY to the little word MY and still use the name of God in the same way. You know, it's not just the saying of the word of God or the word God that makes it wrong. It's how we say it and what we have in mind when we say it. Let me illustrate it if I can. In one of the last songs that we sang, the chorus was, "Oh my God, I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed." Now think about those words, "Oh my God." We use those words in a respectful way. But haven't you heard them used in other ways? Jesus used those words, "my God," when he was on the cross. He said in his agony, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was not using those words in a way to take the Lord's name in vain, though he used the words, "my God." Thomas used those words when Jesus proved to him that he was the Son of God. You remember on that second Sunday night in a row, Thomas not being present the first and came back with them the next time, having said, "I won't believe unless I can put my finger in the place in his side and in the nail scars in his hands." Jesus said, "Thomas, here they are." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He was using those words in a high way, with a high meaning. He was recognizing that Jesus was the Son of God, and he was saying, "And my God," paying respect to him. And yet, there are times when something happens to a person that brings about a surprise, and he says, "My God." Or a time that a person is very upset, and he wants to make an explanation in the greatest way that he thinks he can, and he says, "My God," in a cursing and swearing way. Now, those words are exactly alike when you look at them on paper. You see, it's the attitude, young people, that's involved. And any time that we use the name of God in a sense to express an exclamation about something that's happened or to express disdain and disgust about something that has happened, we are definitely taking the name of God in vain. I hear many women who would never think about the words "by God" using the words "my God" in the same way. And particularly as I listen to interviews on television programs, I've noticed this particularly. This seems to be something that women have decided, as long as I can use the word "my" with it, it's all right. And men are doing the same thing. But they'll say "my God" in a cursing way, in a swearing way. And sometimes young people will just use the words "oh God," or just the word "Jesus" or "Jesus Christ." Have you noticed, boys and girls, how this takes place sometimes? A little youngster, not very old, has something happen that he doesn't like, and he says, "Well, Jesus Christ." That's taking the Lord's name in vain. Or just "Jesus," in a way that he's not paying respect to the Son of God that died on the cross for our sins. And this may be straining it a bit. I don't know that I could prove this beyond a shadow of a doubt. But I think, boys and girls, that many of the bywords that we tend to use are a takeoff of the name God and the name Jesus. The word "gosh," for example. The word "gee." As I said, I can't prove that that's what's intended. But it seems that somehow or other we have made ourselves believe that we've got to have something to say about everything that happens. That we've got to have some kind of a byword or some kind of an expression. I think this is really what Jesus was warning about when he said, "Let your speech be yea and nay." Somebody asks you about something and you want to answer in the negative, just say no. That says it. You don't have to flour it up. You don't have to ice the cake. Just say no. If somebody asks you about something and the answer needs to be in the affirmative, just say yes. And if you are a person of your word, you don't need anything for support. You don't need anything to make it sound like it's great and that you're some... And boys, we boys and men have a tendency to really think that we're the ones that have to prove ourselves to be big and masculine and great and flower up our language with all these things. We don't need anything else. I can answer in the affirmative by saying yes and mean it. I can answer in the negative by saying no and mean it. And when I mash my finger, I can stick it in my mouth to keep me from saying anything and make it feel good at the same time. There's just never a place that we need to take the Lord's name and use it in a frivolous or a light manner. Let me share with you another passage of Scripture tonight that I think has a bearing on the subject before us. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. If I understand what that passage is saying, boys and girls, it's saying that you and I ought to live in such a way that we never bring shame on the name that we wear. Now that'll apply to your family name, and that'll apply to your community name, and that'll apply to your school name, but it especially applies to the name of God. A few minutes ago, we were talking about those back in the Old Testament who didn't even want to use the name of God for fear they might use it in the wrong way, and then they'd get out and live and do anything that was a violation of God's will, not even think about that. Boys and girls, you go out in this community and you either act right or you don't. Somebody's going to say, you know, that person goes to church up at the Henderson Church of Christ. Or somebody's going to say, well, isn't that boy a Jones or a Johnson or a Flat or a Smith or whatever your name is? And by your actions, you see, you can bring glory or shame to your name. And especially when we become Christians, and those of us that are older need to really think about this too. We're out in the community and we say something or we do something that's not what it ought to be, and somebody says, isn't that person Christian? Doesn't that person go to church up at the Church of Christ? I thought that person believed in God. You see, we can blaspheme the name of God and in a sense use it in vain by our actions if we bring shame and reproach upon the name of God. I'm not as interested tonight in this being a sermon that might be outlined as I am in it being a point that gets across to us. Boys and girls, here's what we're saying, and let all of us understand it. God's name is higher than any other name. God's name ought never to come from our lips. The name of Christ, Jesus, ought never to come from our lips except in a respectful way. Now, if you'll remember that, you won't have to worry much about taking the Lord's name in vain. If you'll always remember that every time that the name of God or the name of Christ comes from your lips, it's to be with respect and never, never under any other circumstances, I think you will understand and practice what God said and what he meant when he said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. How great the name of Jesus is to our ears, and how great it ought to be when it comes from the tip of our tongues. In talking about that name, Acts 4:12 says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And in talking about the name of the Lord, Paul said, whatever we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of the Lord. That great name of God, that great name of Christ Jesus, must be respected and never used in vain. A wonderful opportunity to be able to confess that name of Jesus before God himself, and then to be buried with him in baptism and to take that name upon us, to wear it, put him on, Galatians 3:27, to wear him and to wear his name as long as we live. There are those here tonight who need to take the name of the Lord in the right way and confess the name of the Lord in the right way. And if you, as one who wears that name, have not lived up to it, you've brought shame and pain to it by your actions in a public way, and you need to respond and ask for forgiveness. You need to, with your brothers and sisters, address that name in prayer. As a penitent, confessing believer, as a child of his, ask for forgiveness. If you need to come to confess the name of Jesus and be baptized, or to confess faults in his name, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.